And one of these days, and I believe very soon, I don't know how we can look at the situation of the world and not always think about, is it today? Is this the day the Lord may come? But until He does come, we have a lot of things to take care of, a lot of business to handle, and a lot of prayers to pray, a lot of work to be done. I do want you to remember, I forgot to mention Brother Solomon. Do pray for him. He is not doing well and has his legs and his feet, and now I think he's got ear infection, got other problems that are going on that are just a bother and a problem to him. And of course in Nigeria they do not have the ability, they do not have the medicines that we have in the States, and he is praying about, thinking about coming in for a couple weeks just to get some medication, and that's a very long trip. And Solomon's not a young man anymore. He's 74 years old, I think, and still working hard. And of course his son Ezra getting ready, I think almost ready to get back over there with him if he's not there now. And so that'll be a great help to him. But do pray for Brother Solomon. We appreciate his ministry and his friendship down through all these years, and great testimony. If you would, this morning, we will finish up our series in the book of Ruth. We'll be in Ruth chapter number 4. I'm going to just, I guess, because it's what we always do, we think about we're supposed to read some verses and then we have the sermon. Well, sometimes the sermon just needs to have the flow of the message. But I'm going to read one portion of one verse that is the capstone, I believe, of the whole book of Ruth. This is the place where it ends. This is the place where the victory is given. And so we're going to read just a portion of verse number 13 in chapter 4, this last chapter of the book of Ruth. The Bible says, verse 13 says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife." Now there has been a progression of the story from the very beginning of the first chapter, and we're not going to redo all of that as we did, went in pretty good detail last week on the chapters, especially chapter 1. But when we come to the book of Ruth, we do find it is a book that reveals the grace of God as much as any book in the Scripture. She talks about that she had found grace in the eyes of Boaz. We have, on these occasions, we have made mention that Ruth is a type of the of a sinner, and Boaz is a type of Christ. And Naomi and her husband, her family, in those first three chapters, we find that there was a great failure of this family of Elimelech and Naomi. You come to chapter number 1, Ruth finds out that grace is free. It's something that is always available. Thank God today it's still free. There's no price. There's no limit on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we got to chapter 2, we dealt with the fullness of grace. Last week was the fulfillment. And then today is the finish of grace. Grace is going to be completed in her life. And verse 13 is that that verse that we read is that completion of what took place, the culmination and coming together of this man Boaz and this young lady by the name of Ruth. We find that he loved her from the very first. Boaz took note of her, and he said, "Whose damsel is this?" And she was in his field. And as time progressed, he loaded her down with food. He gave her handfuls of purpose to make sure that she was looked after, make sure she was cared for as far as nourishment was considered. And so grace has come to her in many different forms in many different ways. She found some grace, and she has been brought from a land of the heathen in the fields of Moab. She comes from a place that was an idolatrous country, a country that was very wicked and did not know the Lord, did not know Jehovah God. And we find that she finds herself out of those fields of the heathen. Now she's in the harvest field of Bethlehem, Judah. The Bible tells us there in chapter 1 that they came back to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. And so she is there during that time, and she is working in the fields there in Bethlehem. But she ends up out of the field and in the home of this man by the name of Boaz. Wonderful story, great picture of what the Lord has done for us. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can be assured that when the Lord begins a work in your life, he's going to culminate that life. He's going to continue to work in that life. And that's exactly what took place in the life of this young lady by the name of Ruth. We began with failure. Now we see that she has a family and has a future now. And it's all because of the grace of Boaz. It's all because of this man that is known as a redeemer or a near kinsman. Now, to understand the kinsman, there are three particular places, three ways that a near kinsman could redeem someone in the land of Israel. We went over last week how this was given in the law of Moses, how that certain aspects of life was to be handled and to be taken care of. And there are three different things that can be redeemed. And I want us to take just a few minutes this morning to go back to the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Those are those Old Testament first few books of the Bible. In Leviticus chapter number 25, we have the redemption by a redeemer. I want us to read in first of all in verse number 47. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 47 says, and if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwell by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again, of one of his brethren may redeem him. Now here's the redemption by a kinsman out of bondage. The people of Israel had given, was in their livelihood, their way of life, that if a person began to have a struggle, they could literally sell themselves, and here in this passage, was to a stranger or to someone passing through. They could sell themselves and their livelihood over to that person. We would call it like a hired individual. But it was a type of bondage, and the only way, one of the ways that that individual could get out of that is if a near kinsman would come along and say, well, I'll pay your debt for you, and you will no longer be indebted to that stranger or that sojourner. And so that's called the kinsman redeemer, or the redeemer from bondage. It's a nigh of kin. And he is that one that can get you out of bondage. The next one we find is in that same chapter, Leviticus chapter 25, but in verse, back up just a little bit to verse number 25. And we'll see there is a redemption from poverty. In Leviticus 25 and verse 25, it says, if thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possessions. Now, he's not selling himself, he's selling his possession, or he's putting it under watch care of someone else. And if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto a man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. To a Jew, it was very important that they had their lands, they had their property. They were given certain properties to have, and if they got in trouble and they had to sell off part of that, then a near kinsman could come and could redeem that back, so he would have his possession. So that's the redemption of poverty. Now turn over, and we've read this already, but in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 25. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 25. As I said last week, some of these things are foreign to our Western mind. We don't think that way. We don't have that particular regulations in our Western culture. But this is the way the Jew lived and continued to propagate and to have their properties and their lands. In Deuteronomy, chapter number 25, and verse number 5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name may not be put out of Israel. So this is the kinsman redeemer, the work, and to redeem from the dead. And this is what takes place here in the book of Ruth. This is the redemption, really two of them, redemption of property and redemption from the dead. And so we find this law is given to the Jew, and they understood it perfectly, and they lived under the auspices of that law, and they understood how that their livelihood and their lands would continue to be a part of their family. So now let's look in chapter 4 and verse number 1. Ruth chapter 4 verse number 1 says, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. Unto him he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down." Now in chapter 3 we found that Naomi told Ruth and Boaz both, which Boaz already knew it, that there was a kinsman that was closer kin than Boaz was. There's someone that's standing in the way between Boaz and Ruth, and he had the possibility and he had the law behind him to be able to redeem this redemption of the dead. And so he sets down in chapter number 4, verse 1, Boaz goes to the gate. Again, we don't think in those terms. We would think he goes down here to the courthouse. This is the place they did their business, at the gate. You'll remember that when Lot went to Sodom, the Bible says he sat at the gate of Sodom. That meant Lot had some kind of authority politically in that wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so now Boaz, he goes to the gate. He goes to the place where business is transacted. And while he is there, this other kinsman comes by. And this other kinsman probably didn't have any idea what was taking place and what was going on. And so Boaz goes to the gate, he sits down, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake, there in chapter 3, he comes by and he says, "Hey, you stop, you wait a minute, I've got something to propose to you." And so we find he comes to this gate where judgments were meted out, where business was transacted. And he calls to there in chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, "Set ye down here," and they set down. So here they are at the gate, or at the door. They were at the entrance of the city. Boaz is there. The other kinsman comes by, and he says, "I have some business to transpire with you, and to do that, we've got to have witnesses." And so he calls these 10 elders of the city, and they are there in order to do the transaction of this redemption. Excuse me. We find these 10 elders. If you read the Bible, you'll find that 10 is a very important number. You have 10 commandments. You had 10 spies that went into the promised land. The Bible tells us that we as believers are to give a tenth part, as that's our responsibility to God. Elimelech and Naomi, they spent 10 years in Moab. And they were 10 elders here that was responsible for witness. And in this chapter, the last part of it, there's 10 generations that are mentioned. So 10 is a number of responsibility. 10 is a number of completeness. When the writer of the song, Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, he understood that 10 represented all of them combined together forever and forever. And so 10 is a number of responsibility and a number of continual or a process. And so we find here that these elders come and they're called, and he tells them to sit down, and they sit down. Now we're going to skip a few verses, and then we'll come back to that. But look here in verse number 11 of this same chapter. The Bible tells us in verse 11, after the transaction is made, it says, "And all the people that were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come unto thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which had two, did build of the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem.'" So now it goes from just Boaz and the near kinsmen to the 10 elders, and now it's all the people. And so all the people of Bethlehem, Judah, those that had gathered themselves there, they are witnesses of what has happened, and they make a proclamation that they're to be famous in Bethlehem. And so this famous in Bethlehem, everyone saw the transaction, and we know the name later on. We'll see the famous of that. And so this is the, in the book of Luke chapter 23, the Bible says all the people witnessed the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that were there, they witnessed that, and they were witnesses unto that. And that's the last time all the people are mentioned until you come to the point when Jesus comes and every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow. So Naomi and Ruth, they're there, and one is a Jew and one is a Gentile. Hopefully you can get all these things put together where you know where I'm going. A Jew and a Gentile sitting there, and they are recipients now of some things that are very different, and something that is going to take place is going to be very great. Now go back to verse number 3, and this is the crux of the message this morning. In verse number 3, he said unto the kinsman Naomi, and that came again out of the country of Moab, "Selleth a parcel of land." A while ago we read that there was redemption of possessions. "Selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's." So sometime in the process, maybe, probably before they left to go on that sojourn, to go into the land of Moab, probably Elimelech and Naomi sold their property. They put it in possession of someone else. And they all knew what had taken place. And so Boaz here brings to the attention that they came out of Moab, they sold the parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. "And I thought to advertise thee, saying, 'Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt, there's the word, redeem it. If thou wilt redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. So here's this near kinsman, and he realizes, he's been told now that Elimelech and Naomi had a parcel of land. They've sold that. It needs to be bought back into the family. The land's very important to the family. And he says, I'll do that. Can you imagine how Boaz might have felt at that moment? Here's this kinsman that is standing between him and Ruth, and he says, I'll take care of it. I'll redeem the land. And so, by the law of Israel, he could pay for that land, and it would be his back into that family of Elimelech, because it's a family proposition. And so he says, I will redeem it. Now Boaz, he speaks up in verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. So Boaz says, when you get the land, you get the lady. Really, that's what he's saying. If you're going to buy the land, you're going to also have to redeem not only just Naomi's land, but you've got to redeem Ruth the Moabitess. Now, I'll guarantee you, everybody in Bethlehem, Judah, I bet everybody knew who Ruth was. She's different. She's a sojourner. She's a stranger. She's found grace in Boaz's eyes, and she's been gathering in the field, and he's left things on purpose for her. I'll guarantee you all the reapers of the field knew who Ruth was. All the city understood that here's a stranger, and she's receiving things that are very precious to you and I. Thank God this morning I was a stranger to the worth of the Lord and the call of Jesus Christ. But thank God he brought me in. He paid the price. He redeemed me from the world of sin. And he did that for you. That's exactly what Boaz is trying to do here. And so this near kinsman, he says, I can redeem the land. But notice in verse number 6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mire my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. This near kinsman that is unnamed, as Boaz is a type of Christ, as Ruth is a type of a sinner that needs salvation, she had to have redemption. And here's a near kinsman that says, I can take care of the possessions, but I can't take care of the lady. I cannot redeem that for myself. And this unnamed kinsman is a type of the flesh. There are many people today that try to go to heaven by the works of their own body, by their own flesh. They try to hold on, hold out, give in, give up, do all those things that we hear about. And that's the activity of religion. That's the activity of flesh. But you know what? That cannot redeem us. We are not redeemed of the things of this world by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the one that is able to be a kinsman to me, that is able to supply my every need, able to take me and make me a part of his family. You see, this one that represents the flesh, he said, I can't do that. No one will ever go to heaven by the activities of their flesh. They'll never go to heaven by trying to keep the law and keep the commandments and doing good and trying to do better than I did yesterday and turning over a new leaf. That's all the activities of the flesh. But thank God we have a Redeemer that's near to us, and he had to come as in the embodiment of flesh, that he might be one of us, that he might redeem us from our sin, because he is able. Thank God He's able to take care of my need. He's able to take care of your need. He's able to take care of us. And so this unnamed kinsman, as a type of the flesh, he stands between Boaz and Ruth. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who gave you more problems when the Lord was convicting you of your sin? What gave you more problems than anything else? I'll tell you, I believe I know what it is. It's this old flesh. Well, I don't want to bow. I don't want to confess. I don't want to say I'm wicked. I don't want to say I'm a sinner. So the flesh stands between us, and we fight that mental battle all the time between spiritual things and ungodliness. And so here we find that this one comes and says, I cannot redeem it. He wanted the land, but he did not want the lady. He wanted the money, but he didn't want the marriage. That's the flesh. Nothing spiritual about it. And so we find that these things take place. And notice verse number 7. Now this was the manner in a former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning charging. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Now we say, that doesn't make sense. Well, there's some strange things that take place in our world. If you read about marriage ceremonies in certain countries, they do strange things. Some of them jump over brooms, and that makes the marriage just, makes it right. And in this particular thing, if you read Deuteronomy, it's not just something that they did. This was part of the law. That if this one that was a close redeemer could not do it, he would take off his shoe. And that would be a transaction that said, I'm not able to do it. And so here's the testimony. And if you read in Deuteronomy, not only did they take off his shoe, they spit in his face. That was the process. We don't understand it. I don't even try to. That's just what they did. And so here in Ruth, it's all acting out. It's all taking place. And so he says here, he took off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up a name of the dead. What's he done? He's doing the redemption for the dead. He says, we're going to raise up a name, and he's going to be of the name of Ruth and Mahlon, and upon the inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of this place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people were there at the gate, and the elders, they said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, and which two did build the house of Israel. That's pretty good commendation. May this woman, may this home be like, and may she be like Leah and Rachel in the Old Testament, and build a house, because out of those two came the house of Israel. And so the commendation is given. Can you imagine Ruth, the night before in chapter 3, last week, she was laying at his feet there at the threshing floor. She was there as a stranger. She was there as one desiring and asking him, can you take care of me? Will you take care of me? We noticed last Sunday that literally that was her proposal to Boaz to make her his bride. We don't do that in our country. We don't do that in the Western world. It's always the man, usually, that asks the woman. Now, here she is asking Boaz, will you take me? Will you protect me? And he said, yes, I will. And so she comes back and tells Naomi, and this is what transpired. Before that could ever happen, this near kinsman had to get out of the way. before I could ever get saved, before you could ever get saved, before you could ever be a Christian, this near kinsman, the flesh, had to step aside, had to give in. It's a spiritual battle, but it's a battle of the flesh also. Had to step aside, and this in our flesh, we say, yes, I believe. And there in our Redeemer Boaz, Jesus Christ, steps up and takes the desires and the heart of an individual and changes them, and they become a child of the King. So here these folks say, may this house and how may this woman be like Rachel and Leah, which did build the house of Israel. Verse number 12. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare to Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz, here's the verse we started. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord. And there's something now to rejoice about. They went out empty and went out full, came back empty. Process of time. Here is Ruth now, his wife, and they have a child. And they say, blessed be the name of the Lord. May he be as the house of Phares. Rewards are given. The blessing of motherhood. In due time, Ruth had a child. And they name him, and they give him a name, and we'll see that in just a moment. The scripture says, I want us to look in verse number 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. No, it's born to Ruth, but they're seeing, they understand the process. It's Naomi's livelihood. It's her inheritance. And they called his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. And it tells he begat Hezron. And these names now, they're not Western names either. And Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nation. Nation begat Solomon. And Solomon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. Now notice here. And Jesse begat David. Ruth the Moabite is not supposed to be there. But in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ is this woman by the name of Ruth. And here it gives you the lineage. Sometimes we read these begats and say, what good are these? What, they're there for a purpose. And it gives you here the process that she brings into this world a baby by the name of Obed. Obed grows up and he has a son. His name is Jesse. Jesse grows up, he has a son. His name is David. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter number 1. You'll have some of the same words here. It goes all the way back to Abraham. Verse number 2, Abraham. Verse 1 declares that David's the son of Abraham. And then verse number 2 begins the process of these generations. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And then it goes on down. Look at verse number 6. And Jesse, same word, same person as in Ruth. And Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon. And Solomon, verse 7, begat Rehoboam. And it goes all the way down through all the kings of Israel. In verse number 16, we come up with Jacob begat Joseph. Joseph begat Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The last name in the book of Ruth is David. That's the last name in that lineage. You come to Matthew, the last name in that lineage that includes what Ruth has is the name Christ. Here is a worldly, lost girl from the land of Moab. She is a direct result, as we saw last week, of the incest between Lot and his daughter, Moab, the Moabite. Here she is here because not of her own actions, but the actions of another. And she's in that land of ungodliness and wickedness and terribleness. But she comes in contact with the family. Oh, they might not have been living for the Lord, but they knew the Lord. And she falls in love with a young man from Bethlehem, Judah. And she marries him, and he dies. She determines she's going back. And she said, Naomi, your God's going to be my God. Your land is going to be my land. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Your God shall be my God. And so here this Ruth the Moabitess. Now she's Ruth, the bride of Boaz. Thank God this morning you and I, we came from a land of sin. We came from a land of ungodliness. But we met someone. And we got better acquainted. And all of a sudden he dealt with our heart. And he wooed our spirit. And he said, come unto me all you that labor. Heavy laden, I'll give you rest. All the flesh fought it. The world fights it. Thank God one day his power far outseeds the power of the wicked. And so one day we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of our kinsman redeemer, so very clearly given to us in the book of Ruth. Let me read just one or two things here and I'm done. Ruth, I said, was a type of the sinner. There's seven things about her that's given to us. As a sinner, she frequented, she came to his house often. As a stranger, she found his grace. He said, just give her handfuls of purpose. He calls her his daughter, and she feels his love. She gleans in the field, and she follows his word. He said, don't you go to anybody else's field. You stay here. She worships at his feet. She feeds at his table. And in the end, chapter 4, she finishes his plan. You know, you and I today, we are the finished work of the plan of God. Oh, he's still working on us, but the finish is already there. For one day we shall be with him. We're already just as good as there. Paul said, those whom he justified, he glorified. The word justified means saved. The word glorified means perfect. Well, we're not there yet, but in the mind of God, we're already there. Praise the Lord. We finish the plan of our Boaz, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that is a near kinsman. The only way he could be a near kinsman, he had to become flesh. John chapter 1. The Bible tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. We understood. We saw Him. John says, I handled Him. I touched Him. John says, I leaned on His breast and I heard His words. And I can imagine John probably felt His heartbeat. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And therefore we have a command to go into all the world. Hey, there's somebody that really can take care of you. There is someone that can save you. There is someone that can do for you what you cannot do for yourself or no one else can do. But his name is not Boaz. His name's Jesus. Praise the Lord this morning. We are born again. We are a spiritual individual because one day Jesus came and he said, "Huh, wait a minute. We need to discuss something." And that discussion was our eternity. Praise the Lord. Salvation. Let's stand together this morning.